EXO Takeover.
Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of EXO Takeover, and today I'm joined by the one, the only, Loft Music. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's definitely a blessing to be on the show. Love season one. Can't wait for season two to fully come out. It's going to be epic.
I appreciate that. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing pretty well. I just got done like doing my full second listen to Hurry Up Tomorrow last night, and I'm still like on the come down from that yesterday, because that last song, man, the title track, that is something else.
And I know that you've been doing posts every day, shouting out EXO creators and EXO fan pages.
Yes.
Getting nearer to Hurry Up Tomorrow. What was the inspiration behind that? What caused you to decide to do that?
I started my page back in the pandemic was really when it started. And I just remember back then seeing a lot of these creators, even way back then and stuff like that. And seeing it over time just evolve into even more creators and even more shows like yours, and seeing these people who do like these incredible remix albums and graphic designs, and even companies that are making their own products and stuff like hats and figures. I just felt like everyone in the community deserved to be celebrated in some way. I obviously chose a select few, but it ended up, my first list of people ended up being like over 160 people. And I can only choose like 30 of them, which was insane.
I know that EXO Takeover was one of those posts.
You were the one that kicked it off. You were the one that definitely like started the inspiration after watching season one. I was like, this has to be recognized. It was a small show in season one. This has to be recognized to a bigger extent. So I thought I'd do a small little post to just get it out there a little more.
I really appreciate that, honestly. And with any hope, we'll get more people tuning in for season two with an incredible lineup.
Oh, absolutely.
Going forward, though, for Loft Music, what's next? What can we expect to see?
Right now I'm working on a small project, and by the time this video comes out, it'll probably be out, so I'll talk about it a bit. I'm kind of making my own version of Hurry Up Tomorrow with different transitions into different songs. I'm still trying to keep the same concept, but definitely just mixing stuff to be a little bit different, make it kind of my own in a way. But I'm excited for that. It should come out when we're recording this week. It should come out, but who knows? I'm still working on it. I really want it to sound good, and I'm going to get back into my YouTube channel a bit and post more like extended mixes and new remixes, that fun stuff.
We expect to see any collaborations in that work?
Oh, absolutely. I'm currently still working with After FM and his entire team on Dawn FM Cinematic. So everything with that is sounding fantastic. I can't wait for everyone to hear what the amazing talented creators in that group are making, just completely reinventing Dawn FM into a whole new experience, and I can't wait for people to hear it.
After FM is an amazing person.
Absolutely.
Previous guest on the show, and I have had the privilege of working with him on some projects I've got coming up.
Yep.
That under wraps for now. But let's get into why we're here. Hurry Up Tomorrow is finally out. I want to kick it off with the first question being, in your opinion, what do you think the main inspiration is behind this album?
Ooh, well, Abel's definitely talked about it before, scrapping an entire album to create Hurry Up Tomorrow, because he was basically 90% done, and whatever the third and final album in the quote-unquote trilogy was going to be even back then, it was almost done, and then the SoFi incident happened. I think a lot of the inspiration comes from that incident at SoFi. I think that was when he realized a lot in his life, and if he could continue losing his voice. And I mean, you got to give it to Abel. He's getting a bit older now. He's in his mid-30s now. We have all of these newer pop stars and stuff rising, and he has basically reached his peak right now. He has never been at a higher peak in his career than right now and where he is. So I think a lot of the inspiration for Hurry Up Tomorrow comes just from that entire SoFi experience.
Because this isn't the first time that it's scrapped an album, because My Dear Melancholy, it was meant to be a full album, and scrapped that, created My Dear Melancholy. So it's crazy to think once again what would the album have sounded like if that incident hadn't happened.
Exactly, yeah. And we do know some of the songs that were on that scrapped album just because of like leaks and rumors and everything like that. And you could tell like how different even My Dear Melancholy, whatever the album was going to be before that, how different it was going to sound even way back then, and to what it turned into being, the EP that we got. And even that even spiraled into After Hours, which, his probably his biggest album of all time, that and Starboy. So, definitely a fan favorite in the community. But thinking about all the experiences he's gone through, yeah, it's crazy to think that we're here now, 5 years later after Hours.
Do you think Hurry Up Tomorrow has a chance to be up there with the greats, with After Hours, with Starboy, or do you think it'll be become kind of like Kissland, a very underrated and kind of niche side of Abel?
I feel like Hurry Up Tomorrow, listening to it again, like I said, for the second time last night, it definitely felt like a letter to the fans. This was definitely like his letter to the fans saying, hey, this is me, coming out with like some of these like stories in the album too. Like Red Terror is incredibly vulnerable for Abel to sing about. And songs like that definitely just feel more of like I said, a letter to the fans rather than a global sensation album. Nonetheless, I still think that the songs on the album have potential to reach new heights, and Timeless is still going very strong. So,
Is there a particular track on the album that stood out to you?
oh, tons. Definitely the title track and the final track on the album. When Abel talked about in his interview of that being his quote unquote Purple Rain song, he meant that. That was definitely his Purple Rain song. And even looking back on it now and looking at the credits and seeing that it's completely solely written by Abel himself, you just tell how much he cares about his art and his fans and what he wants to give to them at the end of the day. And even that transitioning into back into High for this, which is the first song in The Weeknd's entire catalog. It tells you how much he cares about his art and how much work he's put into it the past how many years he's been around now.
I think I spoke about the last track with someone else on the day it came out, and it's crazy to see how far he's actually come in terms of the style, the sound, and even the lyrics. You know, he's finally accepting, you know, his past and trying to move away from that, and I think it's a really beautiful way to portray that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any particular songs on it or features that took you by surprise?
Lana Del Rey for sure on The Abyss. That was such a surprise. We knew at one point that Starboy and Stargirl would come back together at one point, but still hearing Lana is so surreal after so many years of having them not collaborated in such a long time. So hearing them back together really is kind of like a full circle moment for Abel and for Lana. The Travis Scott feature was crazy too. That and Future were definitely expected at one point. The Justice feature on Wake Me Up, they killed that production. Wake Me Up is definitely one of my favorite songs on the album. It's so Abel just embracing his inner MJ on that song.
I truly feel like that is definitely a very cinematic sounding song, especially the beginning part.
Very much
just
so.
hear that in like a film. It's same with Big Sleep, and
Yes.
so much of like Scarface vibes in that song.
Yeah. And I'm also excited to see what he does with the album when the movie comes out, because as of recording this right now, today we got our first look at the Hurry Up Tomorrow movie that's coming out and some of the shots for that. Realizing that I think a big part of why the album was probably delayed and probably pushed back, why we get like the first pressing with only 11 songs on it versus what we got now with 22, is because Abel really made the soundtrack for the movie that is going to come out.
What are your predictions in terms of the film?
I think we're going to see a lot of Abel being at his most vulnerable in the film. I think a lot of it is going to be his story, from growing up all the way up to the SoFi incident. We know that that is a huge pivot point in the movie for Abel. But I still think we're going to see a lot of that psychological thriller that, like news reporters and stuff have been, hinting at the movie being about, even seeing it from some of the photos that we get in the behind the scenes right now. Definitely looks like it's going to be Abel's last hurrah as The Weeknd, and this is definitely the way to go out.
Yeah, I'm very looking forward to seeing the film and how it goes. I've seen that it's kind of taken inspiration from the Kathy Bates film. What's it called now? Misery? Is the
Yes,
one?
I think you're right. Yep. Yeah.
So I'm keen to see how they portray that, if that is how they are portraying it.
Yeah, and I think Barry and Jenna are gonna play really, really important roles and probably the best picks out of all of them. They definitely have been in other psychological thrillers that I've enjoyed. So I can't wait to see what they do in the movie as well and what their roles are gonna be.
Do you think we'll get some additional songs for the film, or do you think it'll just be Hurry Up Tomorrow tracks?
To be honest, as much as probably fans want like deluxes and probably like bonus songs and stuff like that, I think the way Hurry Up Tomorrow right now is the way it should stay. I don't think we need a deluxe. We have the bonus songs and stuff that didn't make the album, like Society and Runaway, and probably a couple extras in there as well. But I think the way that the album is right now doesn't need to be touched on. I feel like the way it starts, the way it ends, it doesn't need to be touched. I feel like that is the way that it needs to stay.
Fair enough. I imagine, I hope we get maybe one or two songs.
I would
Not
personally
necessarily.
really like to see like the bonus tracks on streaming. I think if we even got those bonus tracks on streaming, that would be enough to fulfill like those couple extra songs that, we wouldn't have yet.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit of a weird one because why would you not add them into. If they're on the first edition pressings, why not put them on the streaming versions?
Yeah.
But
Yeah, for sure.
I guess everything happens for a reason. But
Yeah, he scrapped him for a reason, and didn't put him on the final, so maybe they are coming at one point. Maybe he's still working on the album. I had this prediction a while ago where he would be working on the album all the way up until the movie release, even though it might have quote unquote been fully released. There still could be mix changes and extra songs added. Who knows? He's so unpredictable, so.
that would be interesting to see. I know that I think Kanye West did something similar
Yes.
with Life of Pablo. So it would be interesting to see if he took a similar approach with it.
Yep.
But then, do you think the album would keep growing? Where would it stop?
I feel like Abel would know when it's ready to be fully finished. I feel like if he was definitely going to go on that route and be like, hey, we're gonna change it up and do mix changes, add other songs, I feel like he would go up until the movie release. I feel like if when the movie release is done, then the album should be complete as well.
That would be interesting to see. And do you think he'd do it where he's updating the album every Friday, every day?
Again, Abel is so unpredictable. It could be, one day we see him updating it like 3 days in a row, and then we don't see him updated for like 2 weeks. So I mean, he's really unpredictable when it comes to it. I think we've already seen some mix changes happen to some of the songs. I think I Can't Wait to Get There had a lyric change, if I'm correct already. So,
I don't think I've noticed that.
oh yeah, I think there was a part in the song where he sings High School Dropout. He used to say chilling with academics, which was kind of like a diss to Drake in a way. And I think he changed it to never been academic. I was listening to it today, actually, and I was like, that's not what I thought he said. And so I went back and I was looking, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's changed, but I could be wrong and I could have just been hearing something else.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out actually and
Yeah.
see if that's. Speaking of Drake, do you think that they'll resolve the beef?
Aubrey is also very unpredictable when it comes to his career right now. And I think even after the Grammys last night, Kendrick doing his laps with winning like five Grammys for Not Like Us, and Abel even showing up there. I don't see it happening. I really just don't see it happening with Drake and Abel. I feel like their beef was too strong, and I think Drake still holds some grudges with Abel after not signing with his label. And I think Drake needs to get over it in a way, to be honest, because Abel's definitely made his own path at this point.
Fair enough. I guess time will tell. But going back to Hurry Up Tomorrow, where would you personally rank it in comparison to the other albums so far?
Ooh. Wow, that's a hard question. Oh, man. It's definitely up there. I see so many people arguing that this is like, oh, this is his worst album. Oh, it's not. No, it's just personal. It's a very personal album for Abel. I really, really enjoy it. I don't think I enjoy it as much as After Hours going back to it, but I definitely enjoy it more than Don FM. I feel like there were some songs on Don FM that kind of just dragged on a bit too long, or just, didn't hit for me like it hit with some other people. I would say it has to be probably like his second or third best album in his entire catalog. Definitely After Hours has to be number one, but it's got to be up there.
Right, what would you rank as number two then?
If Hurry Up Tomorrow was number three, number two has to go to Echoes of Silence for me. That is just like my favorite mixtape out of all of them. And some of Abel's more personal songs, even from the trilogy days, are on that album, which I enjoy quite more than some of the other songs off of Thursday and House of Balloons.
Fair enough. And now that Hurry Up Tomorrow has finally come to an end, how do you think this album will shape The Weeknd's legacy and his music career?
I think Abel has really already done his victory laps for everything that he can do. I mean, you've become the biggest artist in the world. You have the biggest song of all time. What else can you really do but kind of just leave it right as it is right now? I think it really just solidifies that The Weeknd, quote unquote, is definitely one of the greatest artists of our generation right now. And how many different styles and genres of music he can do. And you mean he's running victory laps, like I said. He's been breaking Spotify records, he's been breaking streaming records. I mean, you name it. Best way to do it is just to end it now. His legacy will be fulfilled as The Weeknd, but I do think Abel is going to go on and do more.
Do you think in, say, 5, 10 years' time, we'll get another artist that starts to break records like Abel does, become global hit like Abel. Do you think we'll ever see another artist do similar records that Abel has done?
It's definitely possible. I mean, we are in the day and age of streaming right now. It's kind of like going back to the 80s and 90s where Michael Jackson was the biggest artist back then. You never thought that we'd see, or we still even haven't seen an artist as big as, just to name a few, Michael Jackson and Prince and all of them. Like we still haven't seen artists as big as them. But in the day of streaming ages, I mean, you've got the minds of, like Abel as The Weeknd and Bruno Mars and even some like early 2000s people that blew up and onto the scene from boy bands like Justin Timberlake and all of them. We're definitely in that day and age of streaming where it's possible for somebody to come in. Will it take time? Absolutely. I don't think we're going to see another person for like maybe another 10, 15 years that's going to break streaming records the way Abel does.
I guess, again, this seems to just be what I'm saying all this episode, but time will tell.
Time will tell. That is true.
But I think the last question I want to ask you is in terms of the After Hours Till Dawn tour, it is coming back very, very soon, or it might be happening as this episode comes out.
Yeah.
What are your predictions for this tour?
Again, like I've been saying this episode, Abel's gonna run victory laps. This is gonna be his victory tour, his victory lap, his legacy tour. I think we're gonna see a very, very large tour. And I don't think we're gonna see like what we saw on the first leg of After Hours, where we got like, an hour and a half of Abel singing probably his greatest hits and stuff. I think this tour is going to be more of like a letter to the fans. I think he's going to perform a lot of his older stuff that his fans would like, because I don't, let's be real, who knows if he's going to go on tour after this, after these next couple legs. Even if it's, not as The Weeknd, maybe he goes on tour as Abel Tesfaye, but like you've been saying, time will tell. And we'll just have to wait and see. I know that here in the US, I am going to one of the shows. I will do my best to get tickets to go to one of the shows, is what I should say, if they don't sell out extremely fast like I'm expecting them to. But I definitely plan on going. I have a group of friends lined up that we're all gonna go. And I'm excited to see him again.
Fair enough. But I'm looking forward to see what the stage will be like, the set list, and even his outfit. I
Yeah.
know he likes to switch up.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it'll be completely different from what we saw in like São Paulo and on the Australia tour.
Guess we'll have to wait and see.
Time will
Time will
tell.
tell.
Exactly.
But in terms of questions for this week's episode, that's it from me. I'm now going to hand it over to you and, in traditional EXO Takeover style, ask you for your top 5 weekend songs or EXO songs and why.
Ooh, okay. Man, I really should have brought my list with me. So top five, if I can remember off the top of my head, I'll start at number five. Number five is The Town. That was one of the first Kissland songs I actually listened to. Didn't even listen to it in order because I was like on Pandora back then and stuff like that. So it was just radio shows. But The Town, that's when I really fell in love with Trilogy Abel, Kissland Abel. That's when I really got into his music that wasn't mainstream at the time. Number two, or sorry, number four, gotta go to Die For You. The reason it was my number one song at one point, but it became a global sensation and it was all over the radio for a few years, I kind of got sick of it, like probably a lot of people that had that song as their number one, just because it was overplayed a lot. But it is still just an incredible ballad, one of Abel's best songs, production wise and vocal wise as well. He hits notes in that on that last chorus like you wouldn't read about. Number three, I believe is Montreal, off of Echoes of Silence. Bang. It's just, that is what you know Abel on the trilogy for, is songs like that. Him speaking in French, having the production and the drums on it is just incredible. I'm a sucker for like just really good production on songs. Number two has to go to After Hours, the song. I mean, that's like literally everyone's favorite song, I feel like, but yeah, it is like one of the best weekend songs that you can name out there, from the production, the beat switches, the vocal takes, everything. And even the last part where he breaks it all down, hearing that live is incredible, as well as hearing the crowd scream that last part is always just, it's magical. But number one, this has been my number one for a while, is A Lonely Night off of Starboy. I am a sucker for like synth pop and just pop songs. I think that is one of the best pop songs, probably of all time. Just the production and the beat changes gives me such like old school 80s Michael Jackson. And I just am in love with just everything he does in the song, from vocals to production to the beat switches, everything on that. So there's my top five.
Is it safe to assume that A Lonely Night is then your top one song on Starboy?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Yeah. Then it's probably Die For You. Then you go into like some of the other hits and stuff like that as well.
I just wanted to check.
Yep.
Love music. It has been so great to have you on the show.
Oh my God, it's been
And
such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
thank you for being a part. And that is it for this week's episode of EXO Takeover. Join us next Sunday for more special guests, talking more things EXO. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the people watching, the people listening before we end?
Oh boy. Stream Hurry Up Tomorrow. Let's get it on the charts. Let's do it. EXO fans and creators, you guys are the best. You're one of the best communities out there, from shows like these to what the creators are. I wouldn't be doing stuff like this with amazing creators if it wasn't for the community surrounding it.
Well, there you have it, and we'll see you next Sunday.